So unfortunately, when we talk about these abuses in the system of disabled individuals and disabled children, what are we actually talking about?
Well, we're really talking about power. We're talking about individuals who realise they've got power over people with a disability, and because they're providing a service, the people with a disability are even more helpless than usual because they're dependent upon them. And that often is the case of when power structures happen and turn abusive and are systemic. And sadly, it's not just in institutions, it's also happening in schools. And that's really why we need a Royal Commission, and we need to have a whole complete society attitudinal change.
How long have people actually been calling for a Royal Commission into this one?
Well, there's actually been calls for this Royal Commission for about 5 years. It really, though, took off in 2015 after a Senate inquiry into the treatment of people with a disability, and they stated as their first recommendation from the Federal Senate inquiry that there should be a Royal Commission. That then got supported and built upon from the New South Wales inquiry in 2017, as well as various inquiries in South Australia and Queensland, which have indicated that should be the case. And many people from many different backgrounds, from both advocacy, but also a lot of academics, as well as workers in the system, have said, we need this to happen. There were over 200 academics signed a letter in 2017 saying, we need a Royal Commission into the treatment and the abuse of people with a disability in Australia. Labour put that forward. The Greens supported it. Malcolm Turnbull, who was apparently a Prime Minister, one of our many, said no at that point. Then the Greens pushed it forward again just a week ago or so. And the Parliament, and we have to be clear about this, there hasn't been set up a Royal Commission. There's been an agreement there should be one. That's all that Parliament did. They agreed that it should be legislated, but it hasn't actually been legislated yet.
One of the things that struck out to me when I'm looking through this one was the Royal Commission would be looking into both historical abuses and current treatments, current methods of treatment now. And that sort of struck me compared to some of the other commissions we've seen.
Well, yeah, because it's going on today. It will have happened yesterday in institutions, it will be happening today, and it will be happening tomorrow. The historical point is really important because it shows that this has been systemic, and that's what you need a Royal Commission for. It can't just be this is happening here and there, it is across all the systems and it is embedded. So it deals with the historical, and that helps people from the past to heal by being able to share their stories. But because it will deal with the present, it is also giving it the power, if the terms of references are right, to actually change the system and to actually take legal action against systems and individuals at all levels who have either perpetrated these acts or to chastise those that have condoned or not acted upon them, which is the type of condoning, because silence and ignoring it makes us all kind of guilty of it as well if we don't deal with it.
And another point you've raised in one of the articles I've seen, you've written on this one, David, is not just abuses in care and such, but also trying to change the attitudes of looking at disabled individuals and disabled children as purely a burden, looking to actually go, well, we don't just dismiss them, we don't just put them to the side and say, well, we've got to take care of them somehow. We need to recognise what they can bring as individuals as well.
Well, yeah, people all bring assets to everything we do. If we see people with a disability as the other, we say they're not like us. And part of the problem we have in society is because people with a disability are different, whether it's a neurological disability, so they're kind of quirky and do things in a different way, or they physically look different to what would be termed as the norm, then people kind of say, I don't want part of that, or I don't understand that. And there's fear. And one of the reasons we have that in society, particularly in Australia, is because in schools, too often, schools segregate children with a disability, which means that children with a disability, who are not necessarily intellectually impaired, are not being taught in the same situation as their peers. If you find that in societies and systems that have full mainstream inclusion, that all children grow up together, and so they accept each other, and then when they go into society, they just see it as a norm to have people with a disability in the workplace. The same way that we now engage with boys and girls in the classroom, so when they go into the wider world to work, they accept that boys and girls are all capable of doing the same things in the classroom. It's also like that with race. If we separated children by race, that would be unacceptable in today's society. But if we did that, we'd probably find there would be further segregation in society. So for children with a disability, they should be fully included in the mainstream. Now, that's going to take time to do because it means we have to have large system and attitudinal change. But everyone benefits from this because children with a disability bring so much to the table, I guess you would call it. If they have a disability, what they often find is because the barrier that society has created, that's why it's a disability, because society has created the barrier, they have to become more creative in overcoming that. And so many children and adults that I meet with a disability, when you meet them, you realise that what they have done is they've gone into an area of life that really makes them challenge the barrier, and then when they overcome it, they excel in that area. I'll give an example of people like the actress Emily Blunt or Samuel L. Jackson or Bruce Willis, who all had speech impediments. And what are they doing now? They use their voice as their workplace tool in acting.
And just perhaps as a final point there, David, obviously Royal Commission, you know, the Royal Commission on everybody's lips right now is the Banking Royal Commission, and people are hoping, I don't know how hard they're hoping, but they're hoping it might lead to cultural change within the banking industry, as well as perhaps some punishment. But a Royal Commission, do you feel it is a good step for cultural change in our society, a tentative first step in actually enacting that kind of widespread cultural change?
I think it is a required step. The problem with the Royal Banking Commission that people are seeing is that the findings came out and it's not necessarily going to be that harsh. And part of the problem is the politicians who have to enact it, they all have connections with the banks, and so they're all wary about affecting themselves. The good thing about a Royal Commission to Disability is that it's non-partisan. That this is about children, this is about adults who are vulnerable. And all the politicians would state that they went into politics, whether or not they've changed in that attitude, to improve society. Economically, we need to have this Royal Commission because of the economic value that having people with a disability fully included in the community and not being abused. I don't think anyone would question we needed a Royal Commission into historical child sex abuse, which was really harrowing for us as a community, but has made massive changes to how we approach things. 20% of people in Australia seem to have a disability. 50% of us will become disabled. So therefore, there's a 1 in 2 chance that you will probably be in a situation where you could be abused. We need to change that attitude. And for those of us who don't develop a disability, we'll probably have to become a carer. So this impacts upon us all. And if we want to have a society of Australia that really does celebrate our diversity and our inclusion, this is the vulnerable group that has been ignored for too long, and their voice must be heard in it, and we must have this change.
Well, David, appreciate your insight into this one. Appreciate your passion. Do have a good day. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Sean. Have a good day.